from Luke's Gospel in chapter 13. I'll begin today with verse 10. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there approached a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. This week has been a week of loss for many in our community. For those who personally knew the young students at Ripley High School, who unexpectedly ended their journey on this earth with an auto accident Friday afternoon. For the family of our dear friend, Brad Davidson, who had just married his wife a little over a year ago, who she'd previously buried her previous husband, and she and her son had began this new life with Brad, and now that life is lost. And then earlier this week, I traveled to Jackson to celebrate the life of a young 80-year-old Claire Barlow, who was taken unexpectedly from the results of a stroke, unexpectedly. It's been a week of loss and the beginning of a season for these families of intense grief and the questions of why and emptiness surely must engulf them. So often, when we face unexpected sorrow, the questions of trying to make sense of why one or numerous others could be involved in such a tragic event in our broken world, our questions go unanswered. We search for comfort and hope even in the midst of our despair. And friends, as I've journeyed nearly 50 years on this earth, I've never truly ever gotten an answer to the whys of life. In fact, what I've found most prevalent in my journey is, more than giving me clarity, the longer I dwell in the whys of life, the fuzzier it seems our existence on this earth seems. So I've learned as a person on this faith journey, as a person trying to find hope in the midst of despair, that for me, the greatest question is not so much the why that we focus on, but in the what's of their lives that have inspired me. Here's what I mean. Many of you have heard me reflect on the life of my friend, an encouragement source for me, Chucky Mullins, who lost his life after sustaining an injury playing football, became a quadriplegic immediately, and suffered for 2 years on this earth, but never asked why. He continued to smile. He continued to impact others positively, living out his light of love for those around him. You know, I hear in our text that from our reading this week, it wasn't in our first reading or second reading. It was part of our lectionary readings that I prepared for worship. From Isaiah 58, the prophet says, as he reflects upon his relationship with the Lord, he hears these words here: offer and feed and satisfy the needs of others so that your light will shine in darkness. You see, that's the words that I think people like Chucky Mullins and Claire Barlow embrace on a daily journey. They choose for their light to shine in darkness. They are an inspiration to the rest of us. So in the midst of these questions today, in the sorrow, in the grief, and in the loss, I want to take this as a moment, instead of being so consumed with why these events happen, I want to shine a light of encouragement of what we can learn from these who became inspirations for us. How do we fill the void of those who leave us prematurely? How do we pick up their journey of inspiration and shine a little more light and love in our world on their behalf? You see, Brad Davidson that I shared about taught my son's baseball. He was a coach for Noah and Luke. And I don't think Brad would mind me saying this today. He wasn't the best baseball coach. He wasn't the greatest hitting coach. But you know what he was the best at the world at? Being an encourager. He would look at Luke with a big old smile and just brag on him after each lesson. His gift to our world, and I would say hundreds of young people, was that he had an encouraging spirit. And our world is less today because he's not there. You see, Brad embodied what Lynn shared with us in our Isaiah reading today, that our great God from heaven not only knew us from the beginning, but sustains us throughout life and encourages us all along the journey. Friends, may we pick up the mantle of my friend Brad, and may we offer a little more encouragement to those around us, filling his void and reflecting more fully the nature of our God as we serve the world as his people. One word to describe my friend: an encourager. And as I referenced earlier, the life of Claire Barlow, this graduate of Blue Mountain College, who had a laugh that was bigger than the world around her. She said, "I would sit with those old stuffy Baptists," her words, not mine, "as sometimes, and they'd be mad about this and that, and I'd just crack a joke and loosen them all up." She had a vibrance, a love, a willingness to live outside of herself. And if you just focused on Claire's personality, that would be one thing. But she was a consummate giver. She lived in a modest home, probably a 1,500 square foot home. I don't even think it had a garage, Freddie. I think it had a carport. Nothing fancy. But she and John had an endowment at Blue Mountain College over $100,000 that they gave and lived outside of herself. She was, in a word, a giver. So we reflect upon the lives of these saints today. And we take up the mantle even as we ask the why and wrestle with the questions of what can we do to follow in some ways the example they gave us, but in a larger way embrace the nature of our God who encourages and who gives even to the point of death, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So how do we do it? Maybe that's the other part of the question. You know, I hear in our gospel today, even as I've wrestled with this text and I shared with you that this sermon took a turn yesterday when I heard of these tragedies, I tried to figure, how does this gospel still apply to this message that I feel God is guiding me to share? You see, I hear the life of this woman who suffered, our text tells us, for 18 years, who found herself crippled with what would be an debilitating form of maybe arthritis or some type of other physical limiting illness. And did you hear her response in our text today? If we missed it, the gospel writer shared it twice. It said that once she was restored, she offered high and holy praise to God. And not only that, I think her response was so exuberant that the writer said the entire crowd became joy-filled. Did you hear it in our text? You know what that tells me? She was a likable person. Isn't that what happens when somebody we like receives a gift? When somebody we love receives a good fortune, it makes us happy too. Isn't that right? I mean, weren't we all just overwhelmed for Dan Mullen last night because of our affection for him? No, not so much, some of you say. But when something good happens for those that we truly love, we know more joy too. Here's what I'm saying. This lady had known hardship, but she lived beyond the hardship, it seems in our text. She decided to engulf and make the world a brighter place, in the words of Isaiah, regardless of what darkness she knew. Friends, that's the people. That's the people I want to model. It's the Brenda Owens. It's the Claire Barlows. It's the Ruth Cook. It's those who've journeyed on this earth and brought brightness into darkness that I'm encouraged, not to say why, but what can I do to make the light of theirs that's gone out continue to shine even now? May the Lord embrace us and strengthen us in our pursuit to live out His love. Amen.